I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
See, you always know when there's no banter at the onset of the show that something must be going on, right? Right? Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Pat Phillip Podcast. I'm Pat Bulger. I'm alone in the studio right now because that's right, interview season has begun. Yeah, the Pat Phillip interviews are back. You know the ones. You've looked through the years, through the database, through all of our files. By the way, if you haven't, you should, because there are an absolute ton of interviews I've had with all kinds of cyclists, famous and infamous and not so famous. And all the great perspectives of people throughout the years that we've been able to do this podcast. Believe it or not, we started way back in 1999. Yeah, yeah, right. Wait, there was podcasting in 1999? Yeah, there was. And some of them are pretty painful to listen to, but some of them are pretty darn brilliant. Yeah, you know, if I may say so myself. I'm Pat Bulger. Well, how do we start off the season? How do we start off the interview season? Well, the interviews are always about perspective. We're trying to gain an insight into people, into why they do what they do, and what brings us all together. And that is obviously the two-wheeled lifestyle, straddling a top tube and riding it as far, where, whatever, however, whatever distance, whatever surfaces you choose. And I've always been fairly fascinated with the guys or women or whatever that I've given the term of mileheads. Mileheads. Those are the people who just go out there and go out there and go out there and for insane amounts of distances and time. And, you know, aren't necessarily trying to go as fast as they possibly can, but are just wearing themselves down, doing those epic, epic endurance miles. And I always wanted to gain the perspective. And locally, we have a great milehead culture. A lot of great personalities, and I always wanted to gain some insight into those. And so what a greater opportunity to do that than to talk to some of my friends, Justin, Ethan, and a guy by the nickname of The Mao. We're going to find out within the context of the interview, number one, how to pronounce it, and number two, where it came from. But mileheads, great talk, three great guys on the Pack Filler interviews. Today's show is all about perspective, everybody. Cyclists, as we all know, tend to be a pretty picky group. Although we all straddle the top tube, step on pedals, and balance on two wheels while propelling ourselves forward, we each think that the style of propulsion is different from others, dependent upon the terrain, season, and most of all, distances. So we here at the Pack Filler are definitely open to all forms of cycling, but sometimes, just sometimes, we are some forms that we want to gain a bit more insight into. So let's get to that. Let's do that. Let's step inside the mind of the milehead. That's a compliment, gentlemen. It's a term I came up with myself just recently to define a super distant cyclist. I'm sure our guests have better term, however, but you guys could probably come up with one before I even get to your introductions, right?
Goofballs, I don't know. Goofballs. Yeah.
So let's welcome to the show our panel for tonight. Gentlemen, welcome to the Rimbreak Bar, first of all, and the Pack Filler Podcast. Please, when I introduce you, let us know how long you've been a cyclist and the most recent crazy thing you have done on a bike. We always like to get to know our panel with a little bit of just kind of an icebreaker here. So first and foremost, returner to the show and the reason why this is all happening, Mr. Justin Short. How are you, man?
Fantastic. How about you?
I'm okay. Yeah. You know, I can already tell from destined fact that you guys are all dressed in full kits and I'm still sitting here in my work clothes that your ride week has been better than mine. So I'm doing okay.
My bottom half is still business casual.
I wish we had a visual for that, yeah. But I don't have the cameras on. Just talk to me. How long you been doing this? And the most crazy thing you've done recently on a bike?
I was the last kid in my neighborhood to get my training wheels off at 6 years old.
No shit.
Someone broke in to my storage unit at the Ugly Green Apartments and stole my goddamn training wheels.
Really?
I could never ride again.
That's it.
That was it.
So you've done it. You've just been completely stopped ever since.
Yeah, well, Mom took me outside. She's like, let's just give it a try. I was like, no, I can't. You know, and
let me guess. This was like the parents shoving the kid into the water and hoping they just figure out how to swim,
yeah,
right?
She gave me a little push on the little stretch of sidewalk, and I swerved and fell and skinned my knee. See, I can never ride again. She's like, it's okay. Let's try it again. I was like, no, I can't. Let's just try it again. And she gave me a shove, and I made it all the way to the end of the sidewalk, and whipped it around in the grass, and it was coming back. I swerved and crashed. I was like, I'm riding. And yeah, I rode through that spot on the last crazy thing that I did. Flew into D.C. last month, and
yeah,
there's a 350 canal/rail trail all the way to Pittsburgh.
Holy
and
shit.
So I rode that thing straight through.
One sitting.
Literally one
yeah,
sitting.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, God. Okay.
You got out of the saddle once or twice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. There was no place that was comfortable for the last 150 miles.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
But that was on account of the salt. Like, my saddle game is dialed, and I was not having saddle sores, but...
Okay, we're going to get to that. Yeah. We're still... First of all, you just basically told me that you've been a cyclist since birth.
Yeah.
And that you just rode a 350 miler. All right. Wow. Second of all, Mr. Evan Stewart, did I get your name right? Because I just met you tonight.
My last name's actually Washam. I know
Washam.
It's a little deceptive.
What is Stewart then?
Stewart is actually my grandma's maiden name.
Oh, really?
So I just keep it on Facebook to be kind of anonymous, but
okay.
The secret's out.
Well,
now.
I just fucked it up.
That's all right.
Okay,
all
right on. So I've just outed you to the entire witness protection program.
No, you've probably cleared up a lot of confusion. To answer your original question,
yeah,
I think I started riding around the age of 8. That was the first time that I didn't have training wheels, and it's a funny story because my mom had this magnolia tree that she had planted and. Doesn't snow that often in South Carolina, but whenever it would, she would make sure to take all the ice off the leaves and whatnot. And I thought it'd be a fun idea to see how close I could get to the magnolia tree without hitting it. And it was a small sapling at the time. And it took me about 2 tries before I just right in the middle of it and broke the thing right in half.
Oh, shit.
My mom came out and she was pretty upset. And I had this idea that I could make it all better by bringing her $20 and giving her $20. She didn't take the $20, but that was the first day I learned how to ride a bike. So
you paid off your mother.
Yeah, right. Pretty much. So I guess 21 years of riding, and she still lets me ride.
Really?
Yeah. The interest on that would be pretty steep, but
that would.
Yeah.
Crazy, I should have invested.
Recent crazy thing you've done.
It doesn't
have to be distance, by the way.
Yeah, no. I was up in Roslyn this past weekend, and there's a route called the Seven Summits, so I did that. I wouldn't necessarily call it crazy, but it was mountain biking, so it's different than the road biking.
Distance and elevation, do you know offhand?
Yeah, I think it was 22 miles, and it was about 4,000 feet.
Oh, that's
and did it on a full squish.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm working on this. It sounds like you guys have been losing bets or something like that. and Mr. I'm going to screw up your... How I want to know where the Mo comes from.
It's the Mao.
The Mao. Yep. Okay. Where does it come from and how does it...
It's a long story.
Yeah.
Let's just say it was a drunken argument at a party.
Okay.
And it used to be the Mao.
The Mao.
And that long story turned into, listen, I'm the motherfucking Mao. And so that's where it went.
Okay.
And so that name's been around for 20 years. It's probably been following me around.
Really?
So.
And you just roll with
just
it, man.
Go with it. Yeah, everybody calls me that. I get called that more than my real name.
You guys rolled up tonight. And I was just going, and the other two guys introduced you as Chairman The. and Chairman Mao. Well, that makes more sense. But I was just going, fuck, I'm not going to find out what to call this guy. So let's just dive into this, man.
So that's why I don't really tell anybody.
Okay.
I just let him roll with it.
Let him roll with it, yeah. Just,
there's lots of people that call me on the team that call me the Mo.
Yeah.
The Mao, all. I'm cool. Yeah. It's whatever.
You're an ODZ guy, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I know a lot of your teammates and stuff like that. We ride with I've held on barely to some of those wheels before in my days.
You too, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Jesus. So let's get to the point here. I mean, I when I kind of wanted to put this together, I wanted to talk to a group of guys who are into, you know, as I say, you know, we talk on the show about cyclists who are just all walks of life. And the beautiful thing about this sport is, yes, we all have these things in common, but you guys go out and just crank out these massive miles on a consistent basis. And am I wrong? I'm right, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, some of them you post, some of them you don't. And you guys just, I took 12 hours on a Saturday and rode, you know, 30,000 feet of climbing and, you know, and slept in a ditch. And you're like, hey, that was fun. And I'm like going, the fuck?
Sounds like a fun weekend.
Yeah, it's just, so let's start off. How many miles could you approximately say you've ridden in 2022?
Oh, you put me on the spot.
Just
first.
A rough estimate.
I rode out to the start of the Tour Divide, and then I rode half of the Tour Divide, so I know for a fact...
You're going to break it down. Justin's got his phone out.
Yeah.
He's adding
I'm
shit.
Delaying for him so he can figure his out. But that would have been around 1,800 miles right off the start.
Fuck.
And then, I don't know, it's hard because I'm not a big Strava guy.
Yeah.
It's just...
So none of your rides exist. I'm kidding. I'm joking.
Yeah, it's tricky. It's hard to convince people I actually ride. I just show them my saddle sores. Yeah. But I'd say probably hovering around the like 3,000 to maybe 3,200 this year. So I'm not a huge miles guy.
You're not.
Unless I'm with Justin.
Okay.
And then, they just pop off.
Yeah. Yeah. Justin?
4,800 right now for the year.
4,800?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm probably looking at like... Maybe between 7,000 and 8,000 for the year or something.
You are. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Not even close. There's no off season.
Yeah. Yeah. There hasn't been for the last year because like every season I've had some event I'm preparing for.
Sure.
And this thing that I call training, you know, I just go out and get lost in the woods and that's, you know, how I like to go about it. My fascination is just with going places I've never been before and that.
Shit. All right.
Oh.
Idiot number three, and I mean that in terms of Dearman.
Strava miles or...
No, just what you could say.
I'm a roadie. I know. I'm at 6,100.
Oh, my God.
For Strava. But I've probably got another 500 or 600 miles in there as of now. I do a lot of me rides, and I don't take my computer. I don't. So I just pedal and go wherever. Nobody knows. Tell my wife I'm leaving and...
You're basically riding Amish.
Yeah. That's the way to look at it. That might be the new term.
You know, my Jackson, who's on our show, he's my son, he calls them soul rides.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just that...
Bicycle soul riding.
And just being, just going. Yeah. What kind of a history do you guys have with the sport? Did you come from a road, a BMX, or a mountain bike background, or was it just... Duh. You know, whatever it is. And we can jump around. Anybody wants to.
I started first, so.
Yeah.
You, Justin.
There we go.
No. Well,
yours is much more interesting.
I raced BMX for 10 years and then was a bike messenger for a year. And
I
didn't know that.
Where were you messaging?
Pittsburgh. And then Pittsburgh for a year and Santa Cruz off and on for 2 years. San Diego, California for a day. San Diego blows goats. Yeah.
Does it really?
No offense to any riders down in San Diego.
I was one in Seattle for about 8 months.
Yeah, we've got that connection.
Yeah. This is a brutal gig. So, so BMX, and did you do any racing in other forms, or how did this evolution come into what you do now?
I got my first road bike when I did my first bike packing trip on the BMX bike in like 92 or 93, something like that.
That's touring or more or less back then. That's, well, we still called it touring, and well, everybody thought it was nerdy.
Well, at the time, I called it a bike trip. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if, by today's standards, they'd call it bike packing. I had a duffel bag bungee to my handlebars. Yeah. I was on a BMX bike, and I went 400 miles from Pittsburgh to central New York.
Did it have pegs?
It might have had pegs on the left, yeah.
On the left, right.
And yeah, it had a bash guard underneath, and I had a backpack on, and I got saddle sores on my back from the backpack.
Oh my God.
And I think I rode like 80-mile days on that thing. And wow. You know, I got to my mom's farm in New York, and I thought, oh my God, this was so much fun.
Really?
And like my competitive spirit bit the dust.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. Because it was like, wow, this is, you know.
Do I say the or do I, what do I, is the or
choose
the,
it.
The or are they, what do I say?
Yeah. You're going to be wrong and right.
No, you're going to be wrong and right at the same time.
So what brought you into all this, you know? You're the only guy in a licensed club. Ethan, are you on a licensed club?
I'm not, no.
Okay, so yeah, you're the only on a licensed club.
I started commuting to work.
Really? Yeah.
I rode bikes as a, you know, as a kid, everybody did.
Yeah, yeah.
Got away from it, started skateboarding and doing all that, never rode a bike again. And I was super broke and was like, I'm going to ride to work. And somebody says, no, you can't do that. That's too far. I'm like, it can't be that far. It's only 8 miles.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, I'm riding 10 miles to work. Yeah. And there it is.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, just started riding. And it was super rad to chase that you can't do that.
Yeah. Okay.
So
can we say that might be a common theme?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
But one thing that Chairman Mao 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 and I really clicked on when we first met, he came to the Dirty Spokanza, I think the second year I did it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, it was second year.
Yeah, and he came to the finish. It was down at Mojo that year, and
I got to hit the sponsor jingle.
Oh, I don't have my computer.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah. Who are we? Gooders?
No, you said
Mojo.
Oh, Mojo.
Mojo.
Hey.
Yeah, there
we
go.
Ching. I got to bring my clown horn in.
We're friends.
Yeah.
My dog will shit his pants. He doesn't have pants, but my dog will shit.
Yeah, yeah. Like we were sitting over tacos at the finish down there, and you know, he grew up here, and he's like, we were coming up over Antoine, and I was like wondering, where the fuck am I? You know, it's like.
This is like an epitome moment or something like that. Okay.
Yeah. So I was on the backside of Newman Lake.
Yeah.
And there's a super weird trail that goes to, I think it's a McKenzie Park. Anyways, you ride through there.
Oh, the Turtle Trail.
Yeah. So we get in there and I'm riding with another guy and we missed a turn.
Shiggy.
Yeah. Shiggy. Yeah. And if you haven't ridden with Shiggy, you got to do it. It's a blast.
99% of my listeners are going, what the fuck?
These names, what do they mean?
But that's okay. I think we're all along for the ride. Yeah.
So we go down the single track, and we can't even ride it anymore. We're walking over roots and rocks, and we thought, I don't know, this adds up. I mean, this is the way the ride's been the entire time, so why wouldn't we?
This is where you guys start to lose me. Seriously, it's just like this when you're not on the bike. It's like,
so we're going through, and there's an oven, like an out of a house in the middle of nowhere. I mean, it's just trees. I'm like, what the hell?
Some witch is enticing you to get in it.
Did you open the oven?
No, we didn't open the oven. But we get a little farther, and there's mailboxes, and there's dishwashers, and just all these weird things. And there's Barbie dolls hung up by their legs.
This is Blair Witch shit, you guys.
Yeah. It absolutely was.
The Blair Witch preem.
Yeah.
Oh, so Shiggy looks at me and he says, I'm opening it. And he reaches over to this, mailbox, and he opens it up. And there's this, like, chicken skull or something, like a bird skull in it, facing out. So when you open it up, and this thing's eye level, opens it up, and there it is looking at us.
Oh, my God. You guys are laughing. This is like David Lynch meets Stephen King shit, man. This is scary. Oh,
so we turn around and he says, we should probably go.
Yeah.
Good idea. So we go back and we realize we find where we had miss our turn, and we turn and we start going up it. And the trail is so narrow. I'm on my cross bike, and not only can I not pedal up this thing because it's so damn steep, but I can't even get my bars barely through the trees. And I get dumped. They're gone. And I'm like, I come up to the switchback and I stop, and that's when it hits me. I'm like, what? Where the fuck am I right now? Like, what decision did I make to wake up and say, yeah, I'm just going to go do that?
And yet you keep coming back.
Yeah.
Holy shit. So, okay. Ethan, you missed out on this first question. Tell me about your history, and was there a racing influence? Was there, you know, what brought you into all this?
Yeah. I should stop saying, sorry.
No, you're good. We're Americans. That's what we do.
Is it?
That's what we say before.
My brother raced BMX when I was a kid, and I remember him, like, wearing the helmet and the pads.
Sure.
And just, it looked cool. And so.
Radical.
Yeah.
Maybe even radical.
And
so I convinced my mom to buy me a BMX bike, to buy me a helmet, to buy me the pads. And as soon as she got me all that stuff, my brother decided he was done with BMX. So I had all this stuff, and I, you know, wasn't interesting anymore because my brother didn't like it. He was my older brother. So it all kind of went in the closet, and I didn't touch it really at all until, I guess, the end of high school. And I remember my senior year, I broke up with my girlfriend and I was sad. And so I pulled the bike out and I was just like, I'm just going to ride this thing.
Most people write songs.
I ride bikes. And I just remember riding it and feeling better. I was just like, this feels good. All of a sudden I just feel better. And so college rolls around and I had that bike and I would ride it to class back and forth, and I never oiled the chain. I didn't change the brake pads at all. And eventually, like, the bike was just, it was falling apart. And so it came time to get another bike, and I'd found this film called Line of Sight by Lucas Brunelli. It's this film all about bike messengers.
Oh, okay.
Ooh. So he was filming alley cats in New York City. And they're all riding fixed gears. So I was like, I'm going to get me a fixed gear. So I got a fixie. And I was living in Columbia, South Carolina at the time. And it's a rather hilly place. So a fixed gear was not necessarily ideal, but it was certainly cool. And so I rode a fixie all through college until I got hit by my first car. And then the fixie was done after that.
Yeah.
So my natural inkling was just get another fixed gear. And so I rode fixed gear pretty much all the way through college. And then at some point I realized I was having these knee problems and it was all because of the fixed gear. So I switched to road bike and I don't know. There's a whole progression beyond that. But I would say that my start to being really interested in cycling was riding fixed gears.
Yeah.
And to this day, I ride single speeds when it comes to bike packing, at least when I'm doing races. And I think a lot of it started with that. It was just this appeal of just one gear and something about that.
So you do race. You do pin a number on.
I don't race, but I do take part in bike pack grand departs.
Air quotes,
What?
It's weird. Stop. There's this culture associated with it where you don't call it a race. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
it's a grand apart.
But there are numbers.
There are no numbers.
There are no numbers.
There are no fees, although it's the most expensive race you'll ever take part in because you're eating $100 of gas station food.
Oh, I'm going to get to gas station food.
You're cracking bike frames and replacing them on the spot. And so, it's expensive.
Talk to me about I don't want here. I talk at the opening of the show about categorizing cyclists, and we need to probably do that a lot less. But if you were to categorize what you guys do, what would you define it as?
Justin always says this weekend we're going on a misadventure.
Okay, so you're misadventurists.
Misadventures.
Yeah, that's
okay.
That's accurate.
I'm just going and riding bikes.
Yeah.
Justin says you want to ride bikes on a misadventure.
Really? Okay. Really?
Yeah, I just don't ride bikes.
Does he tell you ahead of time what the fuck you're about to get into, or is it just
we discuss it a little bit?
Yeah, it's one of us will come up with a route you know, grab a route from someone else. And if it seems like a terrible idea, we're all in, you know? Yeah.
Okay, so you do pre-plan a route, or you do at least have something, GPX file loaded, things like that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's not just... Now, there are a lot of talks about getting lost, bushwhacking, riding up, walking through places with random ovens and mailboxes, and potentially losing your life and while somebody else is standing in the corner.
Yeah,
you know,
Blair Witch.
I'm thinking of Blair Witch theme here. Yeah. But how did this evolve? Talk to me about how you guys got to the point where it's... And did the mileages always start out as epic, or was it... Hey, let's just go out and do an hour and a half. Hey, let's just do 2 hours and a half. Hey, let's sleep away from home tonight. You know, how did this evolve? Does anybody
I'll start
on that one? Yeah.
Yeah, so my first mountain bike was a Kona unit, single speed naturally, and I'd found this route called the Palmetto Trail? It's in South Carolina, because I was living there at the time. And so... It was on bikepacking.com. I don't know if you have to do a plug for that at this point. But...
I don't know him, but
okay,
we'll
do it anyway.
Oh, yes.
Trademark it.
Yeah.
And so I seen what it looked like to put bags on a bike. And so I tried that out, and I kind of strapped some stuff on there, and I was like, I have 3 days. I'm just going to see what it's like to ride for 3 days. And I quickly learned just what it was like to ride at night and the appeal of it. And so it became more just about, I don't know, it's like just riding at the time you want to, however long you want to.
Okay.
And just realizing kind of what your own boundaries were. And so that's kind of how it started for me a little bit. And then once I did my first bikepacking race, I began to learn what my limits were and like actually how far I could go and how long I could be on a bike. And so it's almost like the miles themselves were kind of a second thought. It was just more of like, well, let's see how far we can go, and let's see how long I can stay on the bike, and let's see what it's like to ride through the night. So it kind of was organic, at least for me.
Okay. Guys, anybody want to take a bite out
of
this
one? I totally agree with everything you said.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, totally.
My
take on it's a little bit different, but I rode that flame to Anchor. The Spokanza.
Anyway,
when I rode that and got back, as we're sitting there with eating these tacos, I thought, this was the stupidest thing I've done in a long time. But I had an ear-to-ear smile. Really? And it was the raddest time, and everybody, we're all sitting around this plate of tacos, no chairs, we're on the asphalt, and we're just drinking beer, and it was the coolest thing ever. And so we hooked up a couple more times, and then I rode Midnight Century.
Yeah.
And rode at night, and it blew my mind. And so then it was just like, make the two come together.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, I totally agree. It just kind of just grew more and more. And I've always looked for adventure and seeing things and that type of thing.
When you ride at night, does it feel like you're 13 again?
Absolutely.
It feels like a sleepover.
Oh,
and you know what's even better than that? When it starts raining on you.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
And then you're like in the zone.
Oh, yeah.
You know what just popped into my head? That fascination that I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's gender bias or not, but that fascination with flashlights. My grandfather always used to say, give the fucking kid a flashlight and he'll just be happy for weeks.
Yeah.
And he was right. And I sometimes when I'm riding my bike at night with lights on, I'm like, this is that experience. And maybe it is that. Maybe it's just that stupid shut your brain off. Yeah. Throw it flat. Just letting the light dance all over the place.
Yeah, the street lights on. I'm not going home yet.
Yeah.
So we rode. Yeah. We rode Mount Doom, and...
To describe to somebody who doesn't know what the fuck Mount Doom is.
From Spokane, it's all dirt to the top of Steptoe Butte and back.
Which is a long
ass
route.
170 miles or something.
178
like
miles was the first route that we tried.
Okay, so
on,
everybody who's listening to this, you just shook off 170 miles. You went 170.
No, we were going like... 4 miles an hour max effort for the entire day.
Yeah.
It was because of the terrain?
The wind and the weather and all that.
Yeah.
That was the first time.
Yeah.
But the second time, what made me think of it?
There was a second
is we're
time?
Riding. Well, naturally. We didn't finish it. The first one, we had to do it. We had to bail out.
Okay.
I'll fully
okay.
admit it. Okay. I had to hang my head low and
hey.
Says, I'm calling Uber. The spouse. Yeah, the spouse Uber was called. So we did it the second time, and we're coming through Spangle, and we're going up this climb, and Justin's in front of me, and my headlight's on him. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm chasing the... What would you suggest?
I was drafting my shadow.
Yeah, my shadow up here as we're sitting there watching our shadows. So, yes, the flashlight thing,
yeah,
it's still real.
I'm playing with that. Are these rides predominantly gravel-based?
Yeah.
Is the focus here off the beaten path?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so avoid tarmac if at all possible, right?
We've got to connect here and there, but
that's just a method to get to the next section.
Mm-hmm.
But talk to me about, and you guys keep talking about having these great times and stuff like that. And I call a small amount of bullshit in the fact that, especially when I was talking to the Mojo guys about this lack of competitive nature, because I think there is, and you guys just, I hope you guys are willing to admit it, there is a willingness or an excited nature to lay down the smack on your friends and realize that you're hurting less than somebody else.
There's nothing better.
Chairman's nothing, a great, thank you.
There's nothing better than making your friends chase you.
Yeah.
Stop.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I ride road bikes, man. Come on.
Yeah.
It's exciting to make your friends chase you to the next stop sign.
Yeah, yeah.
Or whatnot. Or they're settling in and you're all just riding bikes and then you attack.
Oh.
Because why wouldn't you?
Thank you.
Okay. I just get tired of this. No, man. It's all peace and love, bro. Not fucking Woodstock.
Yeah.
You know? Well, the first one. Because the third one was competitive, if you've seen that documentary. But there is a competitive nature, right?
Well, I met you on the Midnight Century. That was my gateway drug. And the Midnight Century is a pretty gentle gravel route.
Mm. Yeah.
But, you know, like, that was my gateway drug into bike packing, because one of my friends, I did Thomas Yates from the Bike Hub.
Mm-hmm.
He texted me. He's like,
funny by the way.
Yeah,
yeah. I follow his social media. Funny guy, man.
Yeah, he texts me. He's like, "Hey, man, you got to check out this," and he sent me a link to Cross Washington.
Jesus!
So
yeah,
the Cross Washington Mountain Bike Race is a 700-mile, 90% off pavement. You know, some bushwhacking, a lot of tree hoists, and dragging your bike through snow and over mountains and through balls deep canal crossings and stuff like that. He takes pride in people cursing him.
You're talking about Troy at this point.
Yeah. Sorry, the organizer, Troy Hoffman.
I'm talking about Thomas still. I'm like, really?
Yeah, yeah.
He looks pretty lovable.
Sorry. So Troy Hopwood is the organizer of Cross Washington.
Okay.
And he organized this thing to try and get traffic on the Palouse to Cascade State Park Trail, which is a rail trail which goes most of the way across the state, which we almost lost a few years ago because no one was using it. And
is this John Wayne Trail? Anything associated with that?
So they moved it under the state parks and changed the name of it.
Oh.
So I still call it the John Wayne.
I do. That's
way cool. Yeah, it's way cool.
Yeah.
Welcome to Purgatory, Pilgrim. Yeah, exactly. That was a terrible impersonation.
Yeah.
But, you know.
John Wayne is rough and tough and don't take shit from no bike packers.
And I've heard it's all shale. I heard it's all terrible.
It depends.
Yeah.
If you get behind the horse train.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, yeah, I snuck in front of it. I was so happy.
Yeah. It's
How long was this adventure?
700
and I'm using
miles.
Quotations.
And that's where I met Ethan.
That's another story, but yeah.
Yeah, entirely another story.
700 miles.
Yeah.
700 miles, yeah.
But, you know, there's a legacy of people creating these routes who take pride in people cursing their name, as they're out there, bushwhacking.
So this competitive element is legit. It's real.
It's competitive. You're competing against yourself a lot of times.
Sure.
Like I think it sums it up in the moment when you're on the crosswashing and you're on the John Wayne Trail and there's a perfectly paved road next to you. Oh. And you know that you could be on that paved road you wouldn't be having your...
Yeah, you're like...
You wouldn't have your teeth shaken out.
Fucking chatterbumps.
Yeah. And so there's a part of it where you're like, you're competing against what you think you can do and what your mind is telling you you should be doing.
Yeah, and there's four guys from Big Sky, Montana go riding by you on the road, you fucking bastards.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've been drinking beer the past 6 days.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it... Okay. We're talking about these events that you guys are becoming involved in or have been involved in. And you give them names.
You have to have a route name. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even if it makes no sense.
Are
better if there's a cool sticker to go with it, but a route name is essential.
Are they racist?
No. Like he put together this one he called Mrs. McGee. It goes to this
people showing McGee up. Airstrip. People showing up, all starting at the same time, riding to a specific finish line, trying to kick each other's asses and having fun doing it.
But helping
is that
other.
A race?
They're helping
helping each other. Well, absolutely. You know, I'm going to throw somebody a spare tube if I want to. I'm not fucking stopping. But does that classify as a race? I'm trying to bring the roadie mentality, kick everybody's ass, to understand that, we are still competitive beasts. Would you classify it as a race?
I'm sorry. But
you wouldn't. Okay.
Maybe it's because I didn't spend time as a roadie long enough. Yeah. And I never did a road race. And I think my attraction to bikepacking was that it was not.
Okay.
It didn't have that race culture. But there's a competitive side. And I think there's a difference between racing and being competitive.
Yeah. I mean, I watch guys like Lachlan Morton, Lil Wilcox, and stuff like that,
absolutely.
Which is it. And that is still whoever gets to the end first wins.
Right.
And that's still, in essence, a race.
Well, what I'm essentially shooting for is my usual eighth or ninth place. That seemed to be where I end up.
That's a place, though. That's a race.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, middle of the cool pack, though,
yeah, like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, pack like, filler. That's what we are. That's what we are.
Like, oh, I get it now.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
That's the name of the show, man. Yeah.
The draw for me is meeting people and goofing off and going places I've never been. But it's like it's cool to see that there's GPS tracking on these things.
Sure.
Because you can, when you get a signal, you can look and see where you are and who's nearby. And,
yeah.
You know, like my first cross Washington, there's this guy named Ivan Moore from, he's a Brit, but he lives in Bellingham.
I thought he was from Australia.
I thought so too. Like
you shouldn't call him a Brit then.
Yeah. Okay. No. He's definitely a Brit.
Oh, he is.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ivan.
All right.
He's got the Union Jack on his frame bag, but
okay.
But anytime I do an impersonation, it's always the Aussie that comes out.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We're only so good at it. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. But I'd look at pull up track leaders. I'm like, oh, Ivan's up ahead. I get to ride with him for a little bit, and that was the cool thing. And I'd be like, I think I'm going to ride all night tonight, And then suddenly I'd be like, way ahead, I'd suddenly go from like 15th place. I'm like, oh, I'm in 8th place now. Hey, cool.
Wow.
So
you guys are doing these massive miles. I mean, what's a average ride? What would you class? What's the minimum amount of distance you would say like, yeah, that's legit?
Well, around the block.
Okay. Yeah. So you guys are open. Yeah. So that being said, talk to me about life obligations, the things that get in the way, the things that are keeping you away. How do you get away with going out for a 6, 10, 12-hour ride on a weekend?
Well, we've got the spectrum lined up on the rim.
I was about to say, you guys have, it's much more nuanced.
Good,
married, and I have two cats. So.
Yeah. No, but I mean, the cat's got to be fucking fed, and you got to go to work in the morning, too, and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, everything's automated with the cats, though, so okay. I can leave them for a week. I mean, I'll say that it has made dating difficult.
Yeah?
Yeah, like trying to explain why you're gone every weekend, especially if you're training for something. Because the way that I've always trained for bikepacking, Grand Departs,
is my bike packing.
Like I do a 2-day ride and I do a 3-day ride and I just try to get weekends in, usually with Justin. And it's hard to explain that to somebody who that's not their interest. So,
yeah.
I mean, it can be lonely, but that's why you find people to ride with. And that's the significance of riding with these two guys, is that like you can get better, but you can do it by getting friends as well and developing friendships.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah,
that's kind of the nuance of it, I think, at least for me.
Well, a couple things here, just, and I don't mean to put you on the spot or embarrass you, but I can honestly say he probably the best looking guy at the bar. Couldn't we agree? Yeah.
Well,
I have nothing against your mustache.
Well, I was at work sweating all day.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. But second of all, I need to talk to you guys about bike packing, because I've talked on this show about the fact I have like a full gear of Ortlieb bags in there, but I haven't done anything.
Oh, I was listening.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So, yeah. But what's a minimum for you guys? What's like, you know, you said around the block, but you know.
Oh well, you know.
And how far do you imagine going?
Ethan put together a 100-mile overnighter, so we were gonna bike 50 miles, and I had this crazy idea that like, yeah, we'd get into camp, you know, it would still be light out, we'd tell stories, have dinner on the camp stove. I forgot my stove. brought the fuel, didn't bring the stove, and we hadn't planned for snow and rain, and that 50 miles took us 13 hours.
Oh,
so we were like,
yeah, it did.
There were these cabins out there.
I would throw my bike in a fucking dumpster after 13 hours.
Yeah, we crawled up on the porches of these cabins that were out there at midnight.
Some tax accountants going, get off my porch!
And coming back the next day, there were tree hoists. With the snow.
Yeah.
Really?
And, you know. Yeah.
And reroutes.
Yeah. A lot of reroutes.
Yeah. So how far, what's the farthest you can imagine yourselves going?
How far does a chain go?
Really?
I mean, that was badass.
That's where I'm at on it.
That's a great response. Really? Yeah. Really?
If I had the time and didn't have to go to work and do all the things.
Yeah,
somebody rode around the world, right? It happened.
Yeah.
There you go.
Happens all the time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
But as far as like one go, you know, like I'm comfortable with riding straight through 350 miles, you know, somewhere around there.
Comfortable. Wow.
Depends on the miles.
It's no, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird though, because you know, like you know, like we've been doing a bunch of 200 and 300 mile rides out in the Idaho Panhandle, and I did this thing down in Oregon that was 350, and you know, that was, you know, 30,000 feet of climbing.
Jeez.
And it was actually compartmentalized in my mind in a way that it was easier than this flat as a pancake rail trail I rode to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Know? Like it was, you know, the head game was so much easier. It is like, okay, I'm climbing. This is my life now. I'm like, woohoo, now I'm descending.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Like just sitting, you know, just sitting there turning pedals at 13, 14, 12 miles an hour for.
Would you say it's a mental game more at those longer distances?
Yeah,
that's the one you're struggling most against.
Yeah, we've all been with each other when we're in the hole,
cracking, cracking,
and I've never seen these guys lose their sense of humor.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah,
I've never seen you lose your sense of humor, Justin.
Yeah,
it's like you're like the Joker, man. It's just like.
Let me tell you how I got these guys.
Yeah, and I'm hypothermiating right now. Yeah. This is hilarious.
So.
Yeah.
We mentioned on the outset about your fueling options. There's no way you can carry enough food. And I have seen, and I'm closing my eyes right now because this is an audio podcast. I'm closing my eyes at some of the photographs I've seen from you guys on social media about the shit you're just taking. Anything that you can find at a gas station to refuel with. How does your system work on what many would consider a nail in your coffin? I mean, you know, eating some of these like gas stations.
It's rough.
Yeah?
I raced across Washington this year.
Yeah.
And I made the push from Wenatchee to Tico. It was 300 miles on the dot. And it was 42 hours on the bike.
Oh, my God.
Man. I slept in Lind for like 15 minutes.
Where, though? Let me interrupt.
Right
up, where? Where did you sleep? On
was
a
it
ditch,
a ditch is
in
what
a
he's
campground?
Asking.
In a hotel room?
In a chair?
In a chair
in front of a cafe.
Oh, yeah.
There was a coffee shop, and So I went in, I says, got a coffee, and she says, well, they told me that you had some food in here. We don't have food.
Oh, no.
Do you have anything to eat? And she says, yeah, we got these bars. And she's like, they're not very good and this and that. And I look at them and I'm like, this is chocolate, peanut butter. This is all the things I need. Yeah. I want all of them. So I buy like three or four of them.
Yeah, you're part-time vegan too, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I am plant-based. So there is that. Yeah. So I'm like, this is perfect.
Yeah.
So I go out and I sit down and I'm drinking this coffee. She comes out. She's smoking a cigarette on the curb. I says, hey, do you mind if I just lay my head back and take like a nap for like 15, 20 minutes? And she says, I got a wonderful couch in here.
Oh, my God. Oh.
And I was like, that sounds really rad.
Well, that's a Rip Van Winkle right
there.
That is. Right
never there. To be seen again. Wakes up an ice bath with his intestines gone.
Yeah. I says, that'd be really awesome to do, but I stink.
Yeah.
I says, I haven't taken a bath in 200 miles. And she goes, oh, I appreciate that. And I says, your couch and your customers probably do too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. So I laid my head back and set my alarm on my phone to go off because, back to the competitive part, I knew there were two guys behind me by like a half hour. And I set my alarm for 20 minutes. Woke up and
that was it.
And it went off. Wow. I closed my eyes and it went off. Wow. And there again, you talk about the mental game. I woke up in the worst place I could have ever been. Mm-hmm. And it was just my mental, like, I was really focused the whole time. And then that happened and was a wreck for about an hour.
Really? But it slowly dissipated.
Slowly came back. Yeah. Figure ways out to get back on the bike, pedal, figure out things to make yourself.
Yeah, once you start pedaling, you kind of forget to be tired.
Yeah, because other things hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, if you're up for 24 hours, you might as well be for 40-something. You know?
Yeah. So what's some of the worst stuff you guys have had to force down? Just hearing about these random bars that have probably been there since 1986. And then, you know, what are some of the things you're just like going, I need these calories. I mean, I've seen some of this stuff, you know, mind you, from my experience on YouTube and watching people just like going, I'm grabbing gummy bears, I'm grabbing this kind of stuff. But, you know, what keeps you going? What do you look for?
In my favorite, if I'm riding out of home here, I will grab a 100-mile burrito from My Fresh Basket Case, which is a grocery store.
Yeah,
they make this lump of a, you know, it's like this log of a breakfast burrito.
And so you take it with you beforehand. You leave with it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Like I'll grab it the day before and I'll start the ride on that, get about halfway through with it, and then move into a waffle PBJ. And then, you know, by the time the waffle PBJ is done, you know, maybe I've got a banana on hand.
Yeah, he's got one right here on the bar with him. Yeah.
You know, the banana kind of smooths out the stomach a little bit, and you know, but you know, like we're all three of us, and anyone we ride with, we're all side eyeing each other. Like Ethan, we were on the spiced latte route, which is this 200-mile thing that he put together this summer. It was fan freaking tastic. But like, there was one resupply on that.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare tri-term medical plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
First 100 miles or something like that.
Yeah, right at that point.
Yeah. There was plenty after that, but you know, it's like he grabbed this fruit pie thing and
Hostess.
Dude, these are like off brand.
It's
totally Sara off. Lee or something like that.
Yeah. I've called the Hostess fruit pies Power Pies since the 1980s.
Yeah, like they're Hostess is gourmet compared to what this was. Really? You know. We had a 3.5 hour climb after that, and I was, you know, he pulled that thing out up on the mountain, and I was looking at that, and I was like, oh, man.
Why didn't I pick that?
Yeah, I'm going to prison shake you right now for that thing.
I would kill someone for that.
Yeah. Man, so back to the food question.
Yeah, yeah.
I only pick things that I want to eat, and I think that's part of these rides is that you have to eat all the time, and so it's important to have things that you actually want to eat.
Yeah.
So for me, it's Twinkies. Like, it's always Twinkies. And when I finished the Tour Divide, it took me months to stop like eating Twinkies because I was eating them so often, and they were like
the first step is admitting you have a problem.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I mean, for me, it's actually not eating like stuff you don't like. I would oftentimes grab a carton of ice cream and put it in my bag, and then like 2 or 3 hours later, I'd pull it out and eat it.
Yeah.
And I learned that one from Lyle Wilcox. And you're drinking it at that
point. You know
point.
Who Lyle Wilcox is,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it took me a while. I've had one listener who said I didn't know who Lyle Wilcox was.
Who Lyle Wilcox
I've been bitter about that for like 12 years. So, yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, it's you're fine. I just, you know, fuck that listener.
It's an inside joke.
Yeah. No, so is there a schedule? Do you guys like, or do you just like, just keep it coming in?
Threethin and I can sometimes get Fridays off together, so that'll be like a Friday Saturday.
Well, I mean, eating during a ride.
Yeah.
Eating during a ride.
15 minutes, take a bite out of something.
Really? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So it's a constant grazing. So
So whatever you're hungry for, you know, I heard on a podcast just last week that, like, you know, if you're running type or zone 3 and above, you know, your body's burning carbs, but if you're running zone 2, which is where we tend to hang out, you know, you're burning fat.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I tend to hang out with like fatty, meaty, cheesy things like that. And then, you know, I'll throw in a fruit pie or a waffle PBJ. Or,
yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. I kind of do the whole, that 60 carb an hour.
Yeah.
Wow.
You really? Kind of just calculated.
Yeah. You're thinking about it.
Yeah.
I think a Twinkie covers all the
food. Exactly. Okay, that's 400 calories.
Yeah. But I agree. I think it's eating what you want to.
Yeah.
I think palate fatigue is such a big thing once you get out there and you eat, and you're just, next thing you know, you're like, I don't even want to eat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, you're 20 miles out.
Yeah. I run into that all the time because I'll take certain things with me and then I just get bored with it. And it's like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Something grainy sounds like nightmare right now. I'd rather, you know. Yeah, burn at the stake.
No, that's like Justin one time pulled out chocolate covered ginger.
candy ginger.
Oh man,
that smooths out the stomach.
Are you saying that in a good way?
No, in a good way. It'll take you out of any hole you're in.
Yes,
really,
any hole.
Whenever I was having stomach issues on the divide, I would eat one of the ginger candies.
Yeah,
and it would always reset my stomach. Not the same as taking a bite out of the ginger root, right, Justin?
The straight ginger root. Yeah, that was something that...
That's got to burn.
And burns. Eat away your enamel.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay. So do you guys... you guys ride with a collection of other groups, or do you stay within your own stereotype, so to speak?
I ride with everybody.
Yeah, same. I do a Tuesday night ride out of Vertical Earth, and I ride with all those guys, and then I ride with these guys on the weekends, and then... Well, actually, that's really the two groups. But it's important to mix it up.
I don't have a bouncy bike right now, but I'm shopping. You know,
Yeah, right on. I've seen some aerial shots of you, which I consider absolute insanity. But I've seen you descend Mount Spokane, our local hill, with this style that I can only just consider your own. Where I'm just going, he is leaning down off the side of the bike, where he, you know, your ass is below the top tube and you're just railing around a corner, and I'm just going, I will never see that man again because I want to see tomorrow.
There's a great picture from Cross Washington of that exact same thing coming through. That's a great
picture.
He's
hanging off the edge.
In the rain, that one that just came out? There was one that just came out that was a gorgeous
shot. Yeah, that was a good shot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was Seth Dubois took that one. He was the organizer of one of the organizers from the Odyssey of the Vogue, which is a 350-mile race through the Oregon Coast Range.
Wow.
And, yeah, so he was out there taking pictures on that one. But, yeah, Josh Cotto, who he's won Tour Divide, and, you know, he's one of the ultra, you know, like, when I bust out a triple century or, you know, that's like a half day for him. But he's also one hell of a photographer. And, yeah. You know, he'll go out and take some guerrilla photography. But that was something that I hanging my ass hot sideways off the seat to air the guys out. You know,
yeah,
that was,
it's taint patrol is what I call it.
Yeah, exactly.
Is there a in your cycling life, in your evolution of your cycling life, is there a limit to this, or are you guys just living for the now?
Well, right now I'm able to, the 350 mile thing is easy enough to knock out in a week and do it somewhere, where I can visit family.
Sure.
You know, because I did this thing in Florida down in February, the Hurricane 300, and, you wouldn't expect to get the hell beat out of you in Florida, but yeah, it was like swamps and balls deep. River crossings with alligators, and
really?
My hand went numb for 6 months.
Oh my god!
Yeah, because I rode the wrong bike. I mean, there was like 100 miles of fun, flowy single track.
Yeah,
it was nuts. But you know, it's like I cracked myself for. What would it take me like 45 hours to finish that thing, and then, hanging out with my mom for the rest of the week.
Yeah.
Paddleboard.
That helps.
Yeah.
Have that mix, that mm-hmm. things like that. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, it's like I do have, you know, maybe 2024 I'm eyeballing Tour Divide.
Okay.
You know, that'll be like, hey, you didn't tell me that.
You know, it's still an idea in progress. It's one that terrifies me a little bit less than some a little tired. It the 2700 mile Tour Divide terrifies me less than Colorado Trail Race.
Breck
Epic or anything like that. It's all races, though. Breck Epic is like a full-on multi-day race, though. So
yeah. But I mean, the Breck Epic, I think that's like a stage race, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah.
Not your
Colorado Trail Race. It's like, okay, you're up above Timberline. It's like, yeah, you might get struck by lightning up here.
Oh shit!
You know,
oh, shit.
Hailstorms are going to come through, and yeah.
There's shelf life, guys, or is this just going to keep going? You're going to just deal with your cats and be good, or is this there a limit to all this?
Oh, man, you brought up the cats again.
Well, you brought it up first, you know.
I don't know. Like, it's a stage of life thing.
Yeah? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't see myself doing this forever. I do it because it gives me something to look forward to, but it's just because that's where I'm at in life. Like, I don't have a lot of other things to look forward to, and so these rides are a means of having something to work towards, and I think that works well with my personality, but I don't know, if I had a family or something, that could easily be more important. And it's interesting, because you see a lot of endurance riders come into this at a later point in life. Mm-hmm. I'm not calling you out, Justin, but like, you almost like catch the second wind like a little bit later in life, because you all of a sudden desire it again, and so I don't know, like for me it's almost like, okay, I'll take it a year at a time, and then eventually it'll probably run out for me, but I'll always ride a bike. It just it evolves into a different desire.
I think that's the key thing here is I started, you guys jokingly said at the onset of the show that you considered yourself I asked you about your cycling career and you all mentioned something at birth or that early, you know, and I think, you know, I talk about lifelong cyclists and I talk about the fact that some of the best friendships you make, some of the best experiences you can relate to times regards to straddling a top tube.
Yeah.
And that's what keeps you going. Whether you're able to find the time to do these incredible epic rides or not, you're still a cyclist and you can still... I have people on the show who haven't been on a bike in months, but they can still walk up to you and talk to you about the experiences and they can still relate to it because that's their life. So, and it'll come and it'll go. But, you know, someday you find yourself with 17 bikes hanging in your fucking basement.
And you're damn proud of it.
Yeah, exactly. So...
I don't see myself stopping.
Yeah.
I really don't. I ride bikes for me and for my mental health and all of this. And I don't see me stopping. I don't want to stop. My family's starting to get into it a little bit, which is rad. My daughter wanted to get into school lacrosse and I was super stoked about that. But yeah, I don't see me wanting to stop. I like challenging myself. I like pushing myself. One of the deals I made with myself was to every year do something bigger.
Yeah.
And bigger and bigger and go from there. And my first time I ever did it was like my first century is Corto Fondo. I've only been riding for 7 or 8 years. I haven't been riding very long. And so every year I found something harder and harder and harder and
funner and funner.
And the rad thing is, like we talked about family. My family is super into it. And my wife and daughter are insanely supportive over it. I trained so much over the winter and then early year to do Cross Washington this year. And I told them, I was like, well, I'll just take the rest of the year off and I'll just ride bikes. And whatever happens, happens.
Yeah.
But I got my moment out of the way and go from there. So it's kind of the same
that's
thing.
That's a proper amount of give and take. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I know, as I asked you guys, I think before I hit record about events that you guys have in the future, and Justin, I know we need to probably plug one very important one.
Yes.
Talk to me about what's happening for the rest of the year. Most of us roadies are just going like, well, shit, that's it.
Winter is coming.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not doing fucking cross.
Gravel roads are still roads.
Yeah, yeah. I get my ass handed to me in cross, so I'm not doing that, but. Talk to me about what about you got a big boy coming up.
Okay, well, I started, you know, in the vein of the Midnight Century, which is just this show up and do it.
Yeah.
Spokane Institution.
And we've talked about that on this show a lot. Yeah. So, yeah, no, so people know what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. So that inspired me to put together, you know, originally it was the Dirty Spokanza.
Yeah.
And then there was that thing where, you know, Dirty Kanza. They sent me a cease and desist letter.
They did no really.
Oh yeah, yeah. I got a cease and desist letter.
You're shitting me.
And then two weeks later, they had to change their name. And then it, you know, after and
they fucking sent you.
Oh yeah.
They were worried.
Oh yeah. Well, get this. I was going to change the name to
Of assholes.
Yeah. Well, that was their law department. That's the way.
Oh my god.
Well, they knew that this was a rat or ride.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Some insecurity. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So, Jesus. Yeah, yeah. But when they changed the name to Unbound Gravel, I thought, well, I'll change our name to Unground Babel. And I'm going to get a collection of cease and desist letters.
You know? Good two guys at your doors in black suits and helicopters.
Yeah, yeah. So Lifetime comes up with this ride in Arkansas called the Big Sugar. I'm like, Shig Booger, right?
Shig Booger. I'd ride the Shig Booger.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it's a one-day event. And it just started with a ride with Thomas Yates. And then I came up with a name for it. And then like, oh, shit, there needs to be a sticker. And then, you know, like, well, I'll put together a Facebook event page. And then, you know, a dozen people showed up. And then then we went through the name change. And I rebranded as the Gravel Flam Dangle.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know.
Three distances.
Yeah, we've got three routes. There's the 32-mile Group W route. And the 63-mile minor devastation route, which summits Mount Spokane, and the 90-mile major devastation route, which also summits Spokane and has a shit ton of bushwhacking and single track, and that thing has. I did the recon on Saturday with Jason Ostreicher.
Yeah,
and.
Jason's been on the show before.
Yeah, he's been on the show. He's the sixth place finisher of the Trans Am bike race.
Yeah.
And he
you're his biggest fan.
he
giggled like a little fanboy. He's like, yeah, I am.
Yeah,
I like him.
Yeah, it was so nice to spend the day with him.
But, you know, he didn't need a lot of exercise, so we were able to ride together.
Sure.
Yeah, that one's like 10,500 feet of climbing. And,
oh, man.
And this year, it's just a low-profile kind of thing. So it is next Sunday. It's always the first Sunday in October.
Okay.
And, you know, it interferes with cross season. But next year, I'm teaming up with a race promoter, Down East Racing, out of Olympia, Washington.
Okay.
And we're going to go legit with permits and insurance.
Sure.
And entry fees.
It's only a matter of time, man.
Sponsors.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but, you know, we'll also have a team of volunteers that can really fuck with people who are trying to win this goddamn thing. Because the shtick has always been winners got to buy the tacos.
Okay.
And, you know, like Daniel Perry, he's a hell of a rider from Seattle came out and won it a couple of years ago. $75, man. Cough it up. We got a lot of tacos here.
Wow.
Yeah. And he
Instead
did?
Of winning a prize, you pay out a prize.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then second prize, you know, that's something a little better. And third prize is like, you know, that's the primo spot. Except for the brick preams. We've got preams. You know, like we had the big air preem. It used to be in the jump park when it rode out of downtown. Now that it's going out of the big barn brewery, I just have like a cinder block and a sketchy board, you know, piece of plywood. That, sure. You know, there's the big air preem. But the brick preem, up at the entrance to Mount Spokane, I put a brick up there with a sticker on it. And, you know, people that have hauled that thing over the mountain and back to the finish line have gotten, you know,
something special for
them. Yeah. They got $50. You know, God. So, yeah, they're basically going pro.
Jeez, that's better than paying for tacos.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. Add the extra weight.
Yeah.
Right on. So, do you want people to search for it this year? Or do you want them to wait?
You know, the Gravel Brain Trust is the website it's gone backwards. It was like bad, and now it's like. now it's worse than bad. You know, so I'm hoping to get some help with that. You know, Down East Racing at the very least will have it on Bike Ridge.
Okay.
For next year, you know, next week it'll be just, you know, sign up by showing up.
Yeah.
And I'm not, you know, I'm going to put some water up by the gate into Mount Spokane for the folks coming down on the minor devastation route.
I really hope this spirit and this stuff isn't fucked over by insurance and registrations and organizations and sponsors, because, you know, that's Gravel's got it right now, and I love the fact that guys like you come up with these events and are just like, oh, let's just go fucking do it. But you got to be paranoid. Oh, somebody's going to crash and they're going to take my house from me or something
like that. Yeah, like last time we did it, there were like 75 people that showed up.
Yeah.
And one of Chairman's buddies crashed.
Yeah.
Yeah, bad.
Yeah.
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 You're riding down the hill.
You're terrified of that now, and then it becomes this whole different element, and that's hard, so... You know, I hope we can keep it. I hope we can keep it. We're such a litigious society here in the U.S. and that I hope it doesn't fuck it up. So keep it up, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
keep it up. Keep doing it and keep coming up with funky ideas, man, because that's cool. That's really cool.
I don't know if he doesn't have anything that isn't a funky idea.
No, I agree.
And I love it.
Yeah, I agree. Let's end with some speed round, gentlemen. Okay, you got to answer quickly, though. No, so I'm going to ask you just random questions, and we can start with Ethan and just go down
like
around the circle.
Family Feud style?
Kind of, but they're all cycling related, okay?
Okay.
So you got to be honest with me, okay? So question number one, tire pressure, big deal or don't worry about it?
Oh, worry about it.
Worry about it. Big deal.
Big deal, especially on a mountain bike. It's 22 in the back and 21 in the front.
All right.
I destroy a back wheel and then air up.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, it's a big deal.
Big deal. Aero bars on gravel bikes, yes, no, or hell no?
Hell no.
Hell no.
I don't ride around the block without aero bars.
Oh, so that's a yes.
I just took mine off.
You just took yours off, so that's a meh. Socks under or over leg warmers?
Oh, under.
Under.
Oh, yeah, the little zippy thing on the leg warmers, that'll dig into my leg, yeah.
So you're under.
Yeah.
Okay.
I go both. It depends on the socks.
Both? All right. Huh. All right.
Go both ways.
Question number four, does Justin put too much shit on his bike?
Yeah.
Justin, do you put too much shit on your bike?
Until someone's bonking, and then I pull out the 10 pounds of food.
Oh, I always rely on Justin.
Yeah.
He's
always.
A fucking rolling refrigerator.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Aaron Boatman's been licking wrappers for the last 50 miles, and I pull out this 10-pound bag of cheese curds.
And no, he can't. He's got more and more that he can get on there. He keeps telling me it's only 15 pounds.
I feel so bad for his bikes. They're just crying for help.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, every time I look at your bike, I hear this Sarah McLachlan song, you know, in the arms of an angel. I'm just going to shoot it. Just let that bike die. Next one, best mid-ride fueling option, if you could pick anything.
It's probably chocolate milk.
Gas station hot dog.
Gas station hot dog.
Doritos.
Ooh, three Doritos, man.
They also are a great fire starter. Best pre and post of a 100-miler. Pre, I talk about the beverage you would have before a ride, and the post is the beverage you would have after a ride.
It's got to be a beverage?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Pre and post.
I'm not much of a beverage guy, I guess. Would chocolate milk count, I guess?
Yeah, yeah.
Probably chocolate
both
milk.
Both before and after?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Just
coffee.
Coffee.
Pre. Yeah.
Coffee pre. Yeah. What kind? How do you have your coffee?
I leave my coffee in the hands of the professionals, you know.
Oh, so no, you don't. You like the thing with all the whipped cream on it.
Holy shit. Yeah, well, I mean, I showed up at Threethan's house here one morning. He's like, hey, I'll swing by and get some coffee. You're like, you have to go to Florence, freaking Italy, to get a cup of coffee as good as he makes.
I
got an espresso machine.
Yeah.
What's your post?
You know, Recoverite.
First thing you read for.
Oh, wait, you know Recover. What? I retract that. Lagunitas hop.
Lagunitas, okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's an NA hoppy water kind
of
thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've had some of those. They're delicious. That is really good.
Oh, man.
That is really good.
Yeah.
Locally, Lumberbeard is making some of that, I guess.
Oh, yeah?
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Coffee.
Coffee pre?
Yeah, black.
Black, just regular. Coffee. You guys are keeping it simple. I like it. Hence the, you know, suffering in the middle of nowhere. You're not going to get specific, right?
Yeah.
What's the post?
Oh, it doesn't happen all the time. But the best of all times, root beer float.
Root beer float.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Takes it right back.
Yep.
Best bike you've ever owned?
Well, the best bike I've ever owned was that single speed that fixed gear that got hit by the car.
Oh.
Yeah, RIP. It was a civilian Hustle. It was blue. It was really nice.
Okay.
I'd have to say the evil chamois Hagar that I have right now.
That's the one you have right now.
It's my favorite one, yeah.
All right on, right on.
I love them all equally, but I have to go with my roadie.
Your road bike?
Yeah.
What is it?
Just a Trek.
Okay.
Yeah, and I just, oh, I love it.
Fashion faux pas that people just need to get over, and I know what you're going to say. Yeah.
I wear shorts. I almost never wear Lycra.
You don't?
Yeah, just I like a good pair of shorts.
Deal with it. Can I ask the first base layer that is underneath those?
Pair of underwear. Pair of underwear. No chamois game, actually.
Oh my god, my taint is.
We didn't even get into butt care on this.
We didn't.
This episode.
It's both
episode.
Simple and complicated.
Wow, yeah. Justin. Fashion faux pas people need to get over.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Bib straps over the jersey.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I did it.
Over the jersey?
Yeah,
over
I want to throw them out right now. Yeah.
Ew, that makes me nervous.
Yeah, I've seen him do it. It's painful.
I was coming down Antoine this Saturday, you know, which is like more than halfway into the major devastation route, and I realized like, oh, yeah, I've had my vest off for hours, and bib straps are still over the jersey.
Oh,
but, you know, like, if you got to stop and dig a hole, you know, you don't want to have to take your shirt off. Especially if it's cold.
Fashion faux pas people can get over.
I don't know. I'm a firm believer in if you look good, you ride good. So
I love the way you think, man.
I mean,
the third eye mirror, too. I guess that would be my other
You
thing.
Ride with those things, too.
That's what I was expecting you to say. Yeah.
He just... kind of a lot of violations in one specific body, isn't he?
And we're in chicken costumes season right
now. I've seen that. Yeah, I've seen that. Two more, guys. If you had $1,000 to spend on cycling right now, what would you buy?
Not aero bars, that's for sure. I'm sorry, guys. I'm not the best at this.
Yeah. It's okay.
I just buy a ton of tires. I love different tires.
That's a good call. Yeah. That's a good call. Especially with all the different terrains and you guys are talking about the fact that you all took tire pressure seriously.
Yeah, I mean, you see those tires I rolled in today?
Yeah.
It really would have been nice to have like some 35s.
Something
but
a little bit smaller.
Those are 2.4s.
So. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm in the process of finishing my Salsa Cutthroat.
Okay.
So there's a suspension fork going on that thing.
Right on. Lauf?
No, this one will be a Ren Sports upside down fork.
Wow.
110 mil. Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's my extra chunky.
Why are Salsa Cutthroats always available online? Why is everybody trying to sell a Salsa Cutthroat? Am I the only one who notices that? It's like, Jesus Christ, why does everybody want to get rid of these things? It's a good bike, right?
It is a fantastic bike.
Salsas are legendary. Yeah. All right, sorry. $1,000 to spend.
Oh. Well, I'm looking into building a dymo set for lights and everything.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh,
yeah. Well spent.
Yeah.
Last one. Worst song to get stuck in your head whilst riding a marathon distance. worst song that has ever been stuck in your head. Let's go worst and best. Or artist. I guess I'll allow you to go a little bit broad.
Worst. That Baby Shark song is awful. So I would that's say a Baby Shark.
That might win. That might win.
The best one.
And it could be an artist too. You can,
it can be an artist.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anything by The Clash is like really nice. Okay. Right,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. You've just, gone up. It's got the that cool driving factor. Thing yeah. to it.
You've gone up the cool factor. I oh, like thanks, that. Man. Yeah. Yeah. Not like you didn't in the first place, but yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to be like, it's going to be Weird Sisters, isn't it? Something like that.
He knows you.
Yeah. Well, anytime I'm on a ride, I usually come up with a song. You know, like yeah. my wife and I were doing a little 3-day trip up in Canada for our anniversary this year. And, you know, I thought it'd be cool to ride the BC Epic 1000, which is 1,000 kilometers.
Yeah.
About a day shorter than Cross Washington, but like major backcountry. But I was thinking, like, I want to fuel that ride entirely on poutine, which is a Canadian
oh
thing.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. Gravy and cheese curds.
Dude, I'm worried about you.
Gravy and cheese curds on French fries.
Yeah, yeah.
I just had some Saturday night.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, I only want to eat it when I'm riding like that. But, you know, then the song Smells Like Poutine Spirit popped into my head. And we had a day to sit by the lake on that trip, and I wrote out the lyrics. And
can you name some of your other titles of songs?
Oh, yeah. Well, I actually recorded one, and maybe you can put that in this episode.
There's one with my kid's name in it,
oh,
too.
Yeah. There's the man
with
the
hammer.
Yeah. Yeah, the man with the classic. Hammer. I've actually got a video for that one. So,
yeah.
I just did a, I don't know if it's a Weird Al or Queen spoof. It's another one, Rides the Bike. Okay. And I put it together for the ride that Threethan and I did. I think it was the spiced latte, and then
I think so. Yeah,
my camera was missing that week, so I didn't film that ride. But, but wow. Yeah, it's all about, you know, climbing and cracking on.
So you're not getting stuck on anybody else's songs; they're just popping into your head. It's random shit.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
No Sleep Till Tico.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that'll get you.
I remember that one.
releasing an album at some point.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I love music.
Yeah.
So.
You're
I'll
good?
Have to go genre. I listen to a lot of really random things. Like, I'll listen to a lot of disco, like Bee Gees and stuff like that. And then thing you know, it'll go to metal.
Yeah.
And so I listen to everything.
Do you guys listen when you ride? Do you guys take headphones when you ride?
I do. I actually listen to a lot more like motivational stuff and things like that when I'm riding.
Okay.
But I don't really listen unless I'm by myself. Yeah. If I'm by myself, then
I'm kind of the same way. Yeah.
Because we're usually, you know, engaged in really intelligent conversations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
This is stupid. Why do we do this?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. If I'm riding solo, I will starve myself on music until I'm hitting the wall and you know, getting a visit from the man with the hammer. And then when I need the dopamine bump, I'll turn on. Yeah. You know, there's a Brian Jonestown Massacre playlist that I have at all. It's like, you know, and sometimes like music will hit me weird, and I'll just start sobbing like a freaking banshee, and in a good way.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't want anyone to hear that because I would be committed instantly.
Yeah. No. And there it is.
Crying on your bike.
I finished Belgian Waffle, and I was my wife was, how are you? And I'm like, I have no idea why I'm crying right now. I seriously don't. Yeah. I have no idea why I'm crying. You know, I just, it was a bike ride and I finished it, but I was just a basket.
That's
kid.
When you knew it. That was the joy.
Yeah, it must have been. It. Yeah, no, it was great. So,
what do you listen to, Patrick?
I'm all across the board. I made a joke on this podcast that if I hear Kate Bush is running up that hill at any given point in time on a bike ride, I'm going to kill somebody.
I'll bring it this weekend.
Yeah. But, I'm kind of old school. I'm, you know, grunge, punk, stuff like that. Nice. So, you know, but, I did see Green Day in the Tri-Cities once when they were all about 4'5".
Wow.
And I've been a Green Day fan ever since.
Nice.
Yeah. They're a good band. So you guys, I don't know if we've gained any perspective, but I love trying to at least empathize, and I don't mean that as an insult, because I don't think I could ever get out and go and do a 350 miler. I don't think I could. And I know there are cyclists who are listening to this who are going, fuck yeah, let's do it, you know, or the same guy who's going, Still don't know who Wilcox is. But
well, I do it a lot slower than Bike Fit Sam. I'll just say that.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah.
Plug for that guy, man.
Yeah. But you know, to be able to understand that, you know, we all do it and we all love it and we all do what we do. And you know, and the thing I find that the more people I meet in the gravel world, I'm entrenched to a certain degree into it, but the more I love to step away from that roadie elitism sometime. And, you know, people joke, and it's a stereotype about roadies being elitist, but it kind of rings true in a lot of situations. And I think a lot more roadies need to lighten the fuck up and go ride some gravel rides every once in a while and have some fun. You know,
I think all the roadies do have gravel bikes.
They are now. Yeah, they are now. So, yeah.
But on that note, I totally agree because they now have them and...
It's fucking up roadie. It's fucking up gravel. Yeah.
Well, I don't want to say it's fucking up because it's still just bikes on dirt now.
Says
the roadie, right? And
well, didn't you take six guys up to the to the sunrise ride this year?
Yeah. So there. Nice. So nice. The first year we did it, it was me and Justin, and we put that out to everyone.
Yeah.
No one showed up, but I had half my team go.
Yeah.
I mean, they were like, "Let's go. Yeah. Let's do it." So.
Several of them were at the Midnight Century this year. I saw several of them there, you know, all good guys, you know. And I think hopefully we'll get to that point where we're all just relax and ride our bikes, man, you know. Especially when it comes to advocacy and stuff like that. We all just got to fucking get on the same page.
Yeah, it's just bikes.
Yeah, right? There we go. You guys, thanks for your time. And here's to all cyclists learning to shut the fuck up and get along, regardless of their bike's type, except for Ethan, who rode here on big-ass tires, and I'm going to judge him for it.
I was comfortable.
There we go.
He did not have a third eye mirror or aero bars.
Yeah, and his bibs weren't even invisible, even though he wasn't wearing cycling shorts.
I was wearing a pair of slacks.
No clammy shammy. Thanks, you guys.
All right.
Does it explain anything? I'm not sure. But what it does is it brings us together. It lets us all understand that we're all just cyclists out there going for it, regardless of whatever terrain and distance and bike choice we decide to use. That's what the Packfiller is about. It's just people who like riding the two-wheeled lifestyle. Hey, thanks for tuning in to the first of our 2022-2023 interviews season. You might have noticed at the top of the show, we don't have a sponsor for the interview season this year, but, you know, hey, that's because we just got the ball rolling. If you or if anybody you know might be interested in doing something like that, drop us a line, patrick@packfiller.com or one of our social media channels. Other than that, hey, if you didn't know, we're on YouTube live every week with our show here in the Rim Break Bar. Be sure, like, subscribe, tell a friend, and all those sorts of things. We will catch you next time on the next episode of the Packfiller Interviews.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.